Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for supporting our sponsors and supporters. Again, just let them know that you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Kenneth Harper.
Diane Bauer.
Glenn Fink.
Kim Fink.
All right, now we've got to come up with a topic.
Well, one of the big controversies this week is the information we haven't gotten about the Epstein files. And there are a lot of theories about why we haven't gotten it. And there's a little bit of anger among some people that we haven't gotten it. And one of the things that is continually mentioned is the statute of limitations and national security and whatever. And I just want to share one quick thought on this. I'm not convinced we're ever going to see it. I'm not quite sure. I mean, Gawker published Epstein's little black book years ago, but all of us have people in our little black books that we don't have a lot of contact with, so that's kind of useless. But many years ago, Vince Flynn wrote a book, and if you're not familiar with Vince Flynn, his CIA guy was Mitch Rapp, who had the habit of acting outside the box on numerous occasions. And they found a congressman with his hand in the cookie jar. And Mitch Rapp goes to the head of the CIA and he says, when are we going to arrest this guy and put him in jail? And the head of the CIA very calmly says, we're not. We're going to call him in, confront him with the evidence we have against him. And as long as he's in Congress, he's going to vote exactly the way we want him to. And I do wonder if there's some of that involved.
Now, what would the opposition say to that, that we're going to use that as leverage?
Well, how would the opposition know?
There are leaks everywhere.
Not lately.
I would think it's absolutely possible. And I think that some of the same things could be said about Hillary Clinton's doings. You know, when she was under so much scrutiny by the conservatives, it was the attitude of, if I go down, I'm not going down alone.
Yeah.
And so nobody's name comes out. And then you've got Alan Dershowitz talking, and you've got Greg Bannon talking, and the...
Steve Bannon.
Greg. Yes. Anyway, the one that used to work for Trump, he says that there's international security risks, that they're trying to protect national security because of the names of people who are on the list. And I don't think the angst would be so incredible if we hadn't been, as Trump says, duped into believing that it was going to come out and that there was an actual list and there was actually going to be consequences for child predators. And the question that I have over this is, if there was no crime, why is Ghislaine Maxwell still in jail? And why is the House refusing to let her speak to them about what she knows?
The interesting part about Ghislaine Maxwell being in jail is that she was originally sent to jail in Danbury, Connecticut, which is a horrible jail. And she's in a luxury jail in Florida. So that alone indicates that there's some leverage going on somewhere. And again, are we entitled to know? Let me ask you that. Are we entitled to know who's on that list?
Well, don't bait
what
me
happened?
If you're going to switch it up at the end.
Well, you know, you heard on Fox News when Kash Patel and Dan Bongino were on there saying, yes, we know that there's evidence, and yes, it's going to come out, and yes, we're going to really prosecute these people. And that's why Dan Bongino is finding himself on the outs and saying, I got to leave because you're not doing what's right for the American people now. We deserve to know. Maybe you can't prosecute, but you should know the parties. And I get national security, so there is that leeway and discretion, but I also feel that we need to kind of, for the American people, we all need to know, and for the sake of the children and all the predators that were all over these minors.
I definitely would agree with that, because we can't forget about the justice for the victims. I mean, we always talking about individuals that are really above the law. I think that is one of the issues here, because I think it's people names that are on that list is one of the reasons why there's been so much pushback, but it has created a lack of transparency. You've got conflict within the FBI. And I think also Trump has to remember this is something that he campaigned on. So I think that's very imperative, and we've been waiting. And we also can't even look at the suspicious death of the young lady. I apologize, I don't remember her name, but she did a Netflix documentary on Jeffrey Epstein, who recently lost her life. So again, I think that it's very imperative that we do have this discussion, that information be released.
And I think if the government came to us and said, look, we didn't know what we had till we had it, and it is so damning and would cause so much damage that in the interests of the country and national security and to protect the innocent victims who would be exposed otherwise, we have decided for the good of all, we have stopped the process, it no longer is going on, we've broke up the trafficking ring, whatever the crime, the crime syndicate part of it was, but due to these other reasons, we are not going to release any more information. I think that would have satisfied us.
Yes. And also, let's just, I'm not saying this is true. I have no idea if this is true. But let's say there were 20 people who are currently in Congress involved. What would happen if 20 people in Congress got kicked out?
We'd have a party.
We would probably become more efficient.
Yeah.
Okay, so much for that argument.
No, it seems like to me that we really aren't allowing the due diligence process that needs to come out. And it just seems like also people that break the law are in high position continue to receive a pass. Correct. And I think that right there is really the rub with many MAGA Americans.
But that is a valid point. We've had a two-tiered justice system for a while now.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it needs to be undone.
And we also see the two-tiered justice system playing out with these local judges that decide they're going to make nationwide rulings when the Supreme Court has said no, that's not happening, and they still do it.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. But I think that is really one of the core components that Americans want to see, is that individuals who break our laws, who don't follow our Constitution, be held accountable for the crimes that they commit. And I think really that is what we want to see from the Department of Justice.
Absolutely. And, it's the same thing with currently we've got mortgage fraud going on and people who've gotten loans.
In
the PPP
cases.
Loans.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. And it's like the laws are for you, but not those of us in power. Mm-hmm. And as long as politicians are able to dabble in the stock market, we're going to have this corruption as well.
Oh, Nancy Pelosi has a better record than all of the professional stock traders.
She certainly does. And you can get on her. You can find out how to get her app and be a Nancy Pelosi yourself. But I feel that you're absolutely right. We really need to hold people accountable at this point, because if we don't hold people accountable, then how can we expect this to ever end and come to a head? But it's very hard. It's a very difficult situation when you have other nations involved. And I'm sure there are multiple nations and multiple heads of states everywhere that are involved. So We have to be gentle, tread gently.
Hard to do.
Well, because we're we the people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But we the people have been squashed so much. And as long as we conform and be quiet, nothing will ever change. And I still feel like we're going to have a crash and burn and start back at the basics of what the Constitution was intended to do.
Yes.
And again, we may not get convictions in the court of law, but that doesn't mean we don't deserve to hear much of the evidence.
No, I definitely would agree with that. And, this is a little off subject, but, I took issue with Doge, I took issue with the conflict of interest of having Elon Musk receiving federal government contracts into the millions and millions of dollars, but also being in the room to make those decisions. You and I don't have that opportunity. It's called conflict of interest. And so it just seems like to me there is just a whole nother level of the oligarch, if you will, if you get a certain status. Because on top of that, don't forget how many millions that he donated to Trump's campaign. pain. So you've got to have some checks and balances. And I think that is really what the American people are just really fed up with.
Amen on that. But I'll add to it to bring it local. John Bell here in North Carolina is in charge of our, I believe it's the rules. He is the president of a hemp company.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he gets to sit on a rules committee that that will govern the
legalization.
The legalization of an industry he's the CEO of.
And that's completely conflict of interest.
But he says it's not. He says it's not. He says it's no different than a teacher going to lobby for an education advantage. Mm. But I don't think a teacher gets to line her pocket.
No, I would agree.
And that's local. But it's the same. It's the same concept, but just to bring it.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it is everywhere. I've reached the point where I don't think our founding fathers are turning over in their graves. I think they're spinning.
Mm. You know, as you mentioned with John Bell, and you look at everybody in the Senate and what we went through just a couple of weeks ago with the shrimping industry and the real assault on the shrimping industry, the underhanded assault on that industry.
Mm-hmm. Follow the money. Follow the money. So people watch for the lobbying for the casinos, watch for the lobbying on the medical marijuana, because it's not dead.
No, agreed. No, and I think really that's why it's very imperative that we on the ground run grassroots campaigns and really keep our constituents involved, because that's really what happened in the General Assembly to protect those shrimpers. And, because, again, we need to make sure that the middle class doesn't get squashed in all the madness that we're experiencing here in our country.
And again, it's a very, very small percentage of the population that's involved in the shrimping industry, but it's still an industry that we need.
And it affects more than just the shrimpers. It's the truckers, it's the gas suppliers, it's the bait suppliers, it's the processors. I mean, it's a lot more than just the actual fishermen.
Yeah, it's that fish, that shrimp and grits. We've got to have that.
And one of the things you just mentioned, the middle class. The middle class is the backbone of a republic. And the really scary thing is that Venezuela went from being one of the wealthiest nations in South America to being one of the poorest in 7 years, and their first step was to wipe out the middle class.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's why we need to keep our guns, too.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second Amendment strong.
Absolutely.
So we've got about 30 seconds left. What do we want to go through next? Well, what do we want to tease?
Our next section is going to be, we're going to be talking about the rescission bill.
The rescission bill? There's nothing to that, is there?
Those Doge cuts.
Folks, I think we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Now we're going to the rescission bill, and we're having a problem here. Who's going to open?
Well, I'll open it up. It's what, $900 billion is the number? $9
billion. $9.6 billion or something.
Boy, yeah. See, I open it up and I mess it up right out of the rip. So it's $9.4 billion. They did get it through at $9 billion. In the Senate, finally, so they dropped off 400 million. Get my math right. So that we did get most of that rescission bill, but keep in mind that based on my math, which you can tell is terrible, it's like 5% of the total rescission items identified.
It's
what's
already been
in
identified.
This first
yeah.
bill. So we got a long way to go, and that's my. My kickoff, so let's go.
Does anybody know when the last rescission bill was presented in Congress?
Probably never.
I
don't recall anything. I don't recall them ever giving money back. They always want more.
Or asking to put money back. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is with this rescission bill, it was cuts of waste and mismanagement spending is... You know, the DOGE stuff. And what I cannot rationalize in my mind is why anybody, regardless of party, would have a problem to stop spending waste, fraud, and abuse. And it is so offensive to me that you have no Democrats, none, who voted to stop wasteful spending. And if there party platform, as they always tell us, that they're for the working poor, they're for the lower class and the underrepresented. Why don't they look at that money as being a value to the lower underrepresented?
Because they look at it as money for them. That's that. I mean, at the end of the day, they are not there to serve their constituents. And we continue to see that. We saw that during Joe Biden's administration, just the massive amount of money that we continued to spend even after COVID was controlled and people were beginning to go back to work. They just, and matter of fact, we're still spending on the same types of COVID, post-COVID levels, which is really beyond me because all of us sitting in here have budgets. We have bills. We have obligations that are due. If we haven't paid them this month, they're coming due any minute. And so I don't understand how we can continue to run our country in this trajectory, knowing that we're heading towards a crash course. So I believe that really the Democrats are not serving the interests. And I feel like our Republican constituents aren't bringing that accountability that we need to the table to really force what we need to balance our budget.
Part of that, too. The Democrats vote as a block.
Yes.
You very rarely see a Democrat go out on his own.
It's true.
We saw it with Fetterman, and the Democrats decided that that stroke was more serious than they thought, and maybe he wasn't all there. But, I mean, you don't see lone wolves in the Democrat Party. And, you know, that's herd mentality. It's not healthy, and it's not good for the country. And it is another example of why the 1913 amendment that said senators will be elected and not appointed by their states has been a disaster for this country.
You know, when you look at budgeting or whatever else, or any kind of, I'm going to say any kind of manufacturing, you have direct costs and you have indirect costs. You have a direct cost dealing with the actual making of the product. And the indirect cost, you have administration that takes care of everything. And we look at, well, the past, the administration of things like the Department of Education. There's administrators that showed up maybe 2 weeks out of the year and still earned six-figure salaries, and they only work 2 weeks of the year doing what? we don't think anything ever productive came out of that. We know that the Department of Education has detuned our education tremendously.
Dumbed us down.
And I think, you know, there was a time and place for different organizations and different departments to exist. As we evolved as a country, we should rely less on government and more on the people in those areas to take care of the people in their areas. Because if you look at education, for example, that's failing everywhere. You're throwing too many additional social agendas where the children really need to learn the basics. You know, and most countries that are doing the basics, like Singapore, has the highest math scores in the world. They're, you know, they're doing very well with math, but it's basic math. It's not all this made up fancy to make you feel good math.
Or a number that's close.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and my children went through that whole thing, and I said, my children will learn regular structured math. You can't go to a bank and say, I guesstimate my my sum. But when you look at, when you think about all these rescissions and how there's no outliers in the Democratic Party because then they'll get smacked down, they won't get reelected, so they have to, they're being kind of forced. There's also a lot of the fear-mongering to us, the people. This rescission bill will not let you have insurance anymore. This rescission bill is going to ruin your economy and everything will crash. And as we're, the people who are aware are looking and seeing, oh, gas prices are coming down. All these things are coming down. My salary feels a little bit better. I'm able to spend more. It really hasn't hit our economy with these rescissions and the cutbacks to the people yet. And I always say, it's only been 6 months. You know, we've been ruined for years on this. It's going to take more than 6 months. So give a little time and a little breath.
And how many days has it been since we've heard a Democrat talking about the rescission bill saying, we're all going to die?
Just to give a little bit of feedback on that rescission bill. Mm-hmm. It says here the rescission bill originally would have rescinded $9.4 billion in funds. However, $400 million was taken out as a provision to cut funding for a program to combat HIV, AIDS abroad, called PEPFAR, was removed from the bill.
The president agreed with that removal. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And it says with the change to the bill, which the House passed last month, the bill would have to be passed again by the House or the Senate to pass it before it goes to President Donald Trump's desk for signature.
Okay. But it's needed. We have been ridiculous. I mean, in June, we had the first budget surplus we've had in 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal.
Well, when we were talking before about getting rid of the Department of Education and Supreme Court ruling that Trump could move ahead with that, Mary, you had a thing on Facebook.
Oh, this was a friend on Twitter. If you work for the Department of Education and are rage posting on Twitter today about the Supreme Court ruling in favor of President Trump firing you and thousands of your coworkers, please remember only 27% of children in the K-12 public school system will be able to read it.
So sad. Such a sad statistic.
It is sad.
They're graduating people who can't even read at a fifth grade level. Yeah. It's, you know.
And what if it was in cursive? It would be even less, I'm sure.
Can the average high school graduate now fill out a job application?
You know, I would say the average individual would definitely struggle. When you look at the literacy rates in our country, it's off the charts. And really, I agree that the Department of Education, it needs to be removed and it needs to be put back into the hands of the states. Mm-hmm. For the state, for parents, for local teachers, mentors to really take hold of what's going on in our community. But yeah, I think they would struggle to fill out an application today. Many of them would.
We did better before we had a Department of Education. I'm not quite sure what that says.
And I think when you look at the whole, because, you know, I've worked around different schools, it's not the teachers. They're being pushed the agenda. Mm-hmm. They have to teach the agenda whether they like it or not or believe in it or not. And the problem is they're seeing the cracks and they're trying to fill the cracks in the curriculum. but you can't catch it once it starts. And with the COVID gap that we've had and all the expenditures that went to nonsensical COVID protocols, it took away a lot from the schools.
From the Department of Education perspective, we are down to either one or two publishers of school books. And therefore, if you don't agree with the book that's published, you don't have any books for your class. And again, these are books that are universal across the country. I mean, in there, they'll talk as much about how you keep the beaches clean and do your snow shoveling and all that stuff. And to parts of the country, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I agree that these teachers are given direction on how to teach, but they're already been indoctrinated through their education system to feel empathetic to all those things. So it's not like this is, I don't think it's like, oh, I don't think this is a good thing. I think it's like more of what they learned in college.
Right.
And they aren't teaching our children how to think for themselves. They're teaching them what to think. And I think that really we've gotten so far away from the core fundamentals that really we are setting ourselves up for failure for the next generation, because they won't be able to really function, understand the importance of developing a skill, cultivating civility in a society, understanding their civil engagement. And, you know, these are just core components that really we've gotten away from.
Mm-hmm. If you just look at the books, not the textbooks, but the reading books that our children are assigned now versus 20 years ago, it's a shock.
But they're not even reading a whole book anymore. They're reading sections of books.
Yeah.
And they're reading sections of books that promote an agenda of a foregone conclusion.
Yes. And the books, all the books are embedded with DEI indoctrination for the children.
Agendas.
Even in math. She just, you know, the word problems
right.
all have that feeling embedded. You know, it's a shame, because if you have a differing opinion and you're a parent at a school with a differing opinion, you're really kind of blackballed by the whole school district and everything.
So, and the social emotional learning, I think, has done an incredible disservice to the children, because you've got somebody with no psychological background telling them how they're supposed to feel about any topic. And if they act in any different way from what the prescribed acceptable behavior is, they're the ones that are blackballed and signaled out. It needs to be back to the Christian core values and not the political everybody's a victim mentality.
Yeah.
Well, they've removed some of the books that had moral values espoused in the book.
Well, that's why we need the Bible back as the main curriculum, because really at the end of the day, it teaches us the core fundamentals, how to live and how to engage in any society.
Agreed. It should be how to think, not what to think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to the show. And we're going to switch gears. And Ken,
yes,
would
sir.
You please introduce yourself and why are you here?
Well, Bob, I'm really excited to be here. First of all, my name is Ken Harper from High Point, North Carolina. I'm a former United States Senate candidate. I was in the GOP 2022, ran a grassroots campaign. But I will say one of my favorite places, my most favorite place was Craven County. I came here so many times. The immense support that I received, the first article that was wrote about me, the first time I got to speak on the radio, the first time people did fundraiser for me in their home. And literally, I've been coming here with my wife, Sarah, for the last 4 years. So we recently made the move here to Craven County in New Bern. But I own my own insurance brokerage, and it's called HARPCO Benefits. And HARPCO stands for Helping Americans Resolve Problems and Creating Opportunity. And the reason I'm so glad to be here today, but the reason that I'm here is to talk a little bit about an event that we're putting together called Get Storm Ready. And it's really my way to introduce myself to Craven County, and also the way I want to give back, because you've been so kind to me and my wife. And so, but the theme around this was because my wife got hired for Craven County. And whenever there's a flood or a hurricane, they're not able to leave. And so I said, well, we need to prepare. We need to understand what happens in a flood and a hurricane. And so I reached out to my friend Mike Causey, the current insurance commissioner, and he was talking about getting storm ready. And so this is going to be an event really where I want to incorporate our first responders. And also we want to recognize them, our first responders, the job that the city is doing, our law enforcement, our fire department, EMS, everybody plays a major role, especially when there's a major disaster. And so I want to have some conversation around this, Bob. And we're going to be talking about safety tips, hurricane season checklist, things that people need to have.
You know, one of the things as you're talking about this, one of the things, folks, is you can't wait to the last minute to prepare. You need to have, first off, you need to have an exit plan. Mm-hmm. What documents are things, important papers will you take with you?
Absolutely.
Where will you go? Do you have pets that you have to take with you? Do you have everything that you need? And I'm only scratching the surface in those things that you need to think about in advance. And as Ken's saying, here we've got to prepare. We are an area that's very vulnerable, and we went through.
You've got to let someone know where you're going.
Where you're going.
You've got to have plans for your pets.
Absolutely.
We heard a lot of people in different flooding situations that lost their lives because they wouldn't leave their pets.
Mm. Wow. Well, I think that's one of the things that we want to talk about is really we want to bring people to the table from the city of New Bern, Craven County, our sheriff department. We really want to have some conversations around risk mitigation. Also, too, let's talk a little bit about FEMA. So I'm going to ask the insurance commissioner to talk about that because they do issue the flood insurance policies for many communities if they have applied. But there's some changes that are taking place. Not only that, that, but President Trump was talking about doing away with FEMA. But I think they've kind of moved away from that, especially in the light of all the disasters. So these are just some of the things and by the way, this event is going to be at the Flame in New Bern, August 28th. It's going to be a lunch. We're going to have a education lunch, lunch and learn from 12 p.m. To 2 p.m. And listen, you don't want to miss that food, man.
The Flame is
well noted.
Yes.
What is the cost?
It's $25. I'm glad you mentioned that. But by the way, this is going to be a charitable event. Every ticket is going to go to two organizations, RCS, and also the Carolina Coastal Disaster Resiliency Agency. Christy Kohlberg, she is actually doing some amazing work here in Craven County that has gotten forgotten. Many individuals have gotten forgotten about, that still their home is in disarray, and she's helping these individuals rebuild.
There are homes that still were not repaired from what, Matthew, was it?
Yeah. Matthew and yeah. Florence.
Matthew.
Yeah. So how do we register for this?
We are actually online now. If they would reach out to me, my number is 336-410-1546. Again, 336-410-1546. I can send them a code, and they can get registered for this event. And we're actually putting flyers all over town. We're getting the word out. So hopefully they'll see that message. But yes, if they'll just call me directly, I'll be more than happy to get them registered.
You know, it's funny, on the radio show, we've done radio shows about hurricane preparedness, and one of the silly points that many people don't think about is if you do evacuate somewhere and there is a disaster in the area or whatever else, if you expect to come back, you better have the right documentation in order to come back.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And that's really what we want to talk about, is the preparedness. Most people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan.
They fail to plan.
Yeah.
And again, when we did it in the past, Stanley Kite and Chip Hughes and Pat Gallagher and the fire chief, and they looked at our backyard, and Mary's question to Stan, what would you do? And he looked at the backyard with all of our tall longleaf pine trees. He said, I'd get the heck out of here.
He was very honest about it.
So with your insurance stuff, would you be able to talk about what flood insurance does and doesn't cover? And because there's a lot of confusion about that.
Well, we are going to be actually working with many of the financial insurance companies here in New Bern. That's really the whole goal, because really I want to bring all the insurance companies. And here's the reason why I say this. In insurance, we all have our expertise. I'm able to offer flood insurance, and we're able to help individuals with renter's insurance. So I'm fully licensed, and I can offer an array of services. But what I am deferring to is people who live in this area that actually have been here for a long time, because the whole purpose is even also for me to learn. So I am reaching out to all my local partners of insurance carriers that are here local, and I'm bringing them to the table, because this is really about a meeting of the minds, and we want the best people. And that's why I'm bringing Mike Causey, because he sees a lot. He knows about state resources. But yeah, we are going to discuss about FEMA. We're going to discuss about flood insurance, and the different types of insurance, what it covers, what it does not cover. And we'll have multiple people in the room that can discuss this, and you can reach out to these different insurance carriers throughout Craven County.
Awesome.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
Sounds like we got a lunch date, Glenn.
Awesome. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, and again, these are points that you don't normally consider until it's too late.
Yes,
and
absolutely. And so, you do have to apply for flood insurance generally 30 days prior to that policy actually taking effect. And so these are just different things that we're going to put at the fingertips of the consumers, the constituents, the individuals that live here in Craven County. And it may be redundant for some, but just like me, we just moved here. So we really want to know. We don't want no surprises. Unpleasant ones at that.
I really appreciate the fact that you're bringing in Mike Causey.
He's great guy.
Because I think that really I mean, he understands what has gone on in North Carolina in the past.
Yes.
And can tell us where the rocks in the road are, so to speak.
Absolutely. And I tell you, there's not another gentleman who's more dedicated, in my opinion, to his department. And I'm saying this from firsthand experience. I might be a little biased. I did campaign for him. But but when you call the North Carolina Department of Insurance, they respond. They get you information. And he is crisscrossing our whole entire state, providing resources for North Carolinians that they need, answering questions. Matter of fact, I think he's in Sunset Beach tomorrow talking about rip currents, as a matter of fact. But yes, definitely. I'm really excited to bring Commissioner Causey to New Bern.
And again, even as we see ourselves as one state with common interests, the various areas of the state have different needs, insurance-wise and whatever else. I mean, we kidded back a few years ago because we're in an area that you have a lot of high wind.
Right.
Like the houses are built to withstand that higher wind.
Yes, sir.
It's very
important that we also in our industry we equip our consumers to understand the weather, the weather patterns, the things that they can do to also drive their costs down. So these are just some of the different things that we want consumers to begin to understand. And also just what options are there on the table. So, yes, sir, absolutely. We're going to do the best job that we can to serve New Bern and be hurricane ready.
Now, I'm going to ask you again to tell us when, where, and how much, and how to contact you.
Absolutely. August 28th, it's going to be at 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. It's going to be at the Flame, which the Flame is located at 2301 Noose Boulevard there in New Bern. And also, you can reach me directly at area code 336-410-1546, and I'll be more than happy to send you a link. Or also, I'm a part of the chamber, the New Bern Chamber, and they are going to list the link on the website. So you can call the New Bern Chamber of Commerce if you don't see it on their website, but the link for registration will be there as well.
Very good. Very good.
Yes, sir.
All right. We've got about 2 minutes.
Okay. I want to go on a totally unplanned direction.
Yes, that's what we do.
I want anybody's comments on the new information that has come out about the Biden pardons.
Oh, the auto pen?
The auto pen.
Oh. Whether they're valid?
Because what he's saying is, well, I didn't approve all of them, but I had lines of...
He had his protocol.
Yes.
His protocol, you had to follow his protocol and his levels of what could be pardoned, but never individually. He did not provide individual pardons for each person. So it was like a blanket.
So is that even legal?
No.
Can't be.
But he has his own pardon on himself, so you can't go after him because he's pardoned all his actions and everybody else around him.
Was that with an auto pen, though?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so if we kind of position that auto pen where it belongs.
Which it shouldn't belong except for on letters to your constituents saying,
right.
We appreciate your kindness and, just a formal little letter, no bill, nothing.
Well, evidently Hunter's pardon was hand signed.
Well,
yeah, that's interesting.
Everything else should be null and void then.
I agree.
But I think also that there were pardons given before any crime or anybody was indicted for a crime.
Which, correct. Dr. Fauci?
A future crime.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's and they said that about Trump was going to do that, and Trump never did that. He said,
right.
I will never do that.
And so, yeah, Fauci is who I'm... But
yes.
I'm also speaking about the January 6th people mm-hmm. that were on that committee that got
that
pardons.
Totally... overrode the Constitution, violated people's civil
yes.
rights,
yeah.
withheld
the
evidence.
Process.
Yeah, they totally blew that.
Okay, nothing to see here, folks. By the way, this is CCTA Wake Up Call, and we're going to take another quick break.
Mm-hmm. What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. You said you were going to open, Mary?
I want to talk about the New York City mayor's race, where Zoran Mamdani is actually leading. Now, it's very interesting. Evidently, a large part of his campaign is being funded by Alex Soros.
No surprise there.
Son of George.
But aside from that, we need to remember that Alex Soros is married to Uma Abedin, whose parents are Muslim Brotherhood.
And Uma used to be Hillary Clinton's right-hand man.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she used to be married to Anthony Weiner.
Well, that's a whole other story.
We knew that
one. Oh.
But,
I didn't know that. So Soros is married to her.
Yeah.
And Soros' son is married to Chelsea Clinton.
No. Uma Abedin. Alex Soros is married to Uma Abedin.
Okay. I'm mistaken on that one.
Chelsea Clinton is married to, I forget his name, but he's also an heir to a financial family that's very big in New York. The connections of this man are frightening. He wants to make the Inftada worldwide. That means let's kill all the Jews. Now, he wants to make the grocery stores in New York free. I don't know what kind of a business model that is.
I don't either.
And he doesn't fixing.
He doesn't think that New York needs millionaires. I want to know who's going to pay New York City's taxes.
I think he's going to run the millionaires and billionaires out of New York City. But, you know, everybody in their lifestyle, when they have a job, you live according to your means. And some of us live well above our means and are in debt up to our eyeballs. But when they're talking about he doesn't want any millionaires, well, maybe in New York City, a millionaire isn't an excessive amount of money.
No, it is not. No,
definitely not.
So, you know, when you're talking about this, basically it's income that's stealing from you to give to you. So it's going to be bringing everybody down.
Yes.
So I don't see how what was the saying? A rising tide raises all ships.
That was John Kennedy. Yes.
Because what he's trying to do is level the playing field where he's going to bring the up down. He's not bringing the down up. He's bringing the up down.
And what you're going to see, the real estate, the high-end real estate agents are already saying they're being contacted by the millionaires to sell their property.
They're moving.
So what you're going to see is an exodus in the direction of Florida and Texas.
And already in Texas, they're already starting to put into place the stock market. A second stock market is starting to be built in Texas. So exiting out of New York,
the bank,
is a stock exchange kind of starting to be put together.
And how much revenue for the city of New York does the stock exchange generate? That would be an interesting question.
You know, the other question, Diane, you were the Jerseyite, okay? And Jersey has what's called an exit tax.
Yes, we have an exit tax. So when you sell your house and you move out of state, you have to pay additional funds for selling your house to leave New Jersey because you're not buying in the state again.
Interesting.
So you have to pay an exit tax.
And we're
it's
waiting
a penalty for leaving.
Yes, penalty it's a penalty for not reinvesting in New Jersey.
Yeah. So how do they do that with inheritance then?
Well, I don't know if the inheritance tax is any longer. I'm not sure. I really haven't because we didn't have that need at that time. So I don't know where they are with that. I would assume they would like to tax everybody because Jersey's the tax.
But again, that should come to New York very soon.
The other part of the fact that we are going to see financial institutions move out of New York City, if you go back to the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, which is the story of the Federal Reserve, the real purpose of the Federal Reserve, not the one that they told us, but the real purpose was to concentrate the nation's wealth in the New York City banks. So if you begin to move the financial community out of New York, the Federal Reserve's plan has just gone down to nothing. And I would kind of like to see that.
Well, and everybody complains about millionaires, billionaires, but you need them because they're philanthropic and they help the communities. And the more you tax the billionaires, they can't then give to the arts, the poor, the impoverished. And when you do like you're diversifying incomes or whatever and pulling from one, what makes a person want to work when they know that their income now is going to be depleted because a person who's not working is going to take from them?
Well, you disincentivize work.
It's like the equity issue. And you're not giving people of lower means the way to get out. But with him, Mondami, he's hitting all their weak points. He's saying, oh, look, I'll give you this. And when you are impoverished, it looks great. You know, like, look, they're going to give me. But you don't know at what cost.
And he can promise you anything, but he doesn't have the resources to actually give that.
It's going to come from Obama's stash. Remember?
Well, and they said, yeah, he'd be the mayor, but it's the governor. And right now the governor is no great shakes either, Kathy Hochul. She's, hopefully she'll leave. But, they do have limited power, but he can really ruin New York City. And
there will be people who can't move because their jobs are there and they won't be able to move. But the people that are making the jobs, they're the ones that can move.
Right.
Just to go back and clarify something we wandered through recently. Chelsea Clinton is married to Mark Mezvinsky.
Yes.
He's described as an investor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sorry.
Described.
Okay, interesting.
Some sort of investor. Where it comes to New York, it's not the right move for them.
Without question. I mean, it's just classic socialism 101.
It's socialism.
Yeah. And so I really hope that we could really see New York smarter than this so they don't decimate their city.
You hope.
Especially after looking at what they just went through with 4 years of Biden. At the end of the day, we just need also conservatives to sound the alarm that we are not for socialism. We are a constitutional republic. And I think we need to be cognizant of that fact.
And the caution that we're not there to fund their socialism.
Absolutely.
If they go down this road, can they come back?
Well, we're trying as America to come back from going down that road
because
with 4 years of Biden. So
New York City almost went bankrupt many years ago. And some of the major real estate holders, the Rudin family and some other people, paid their real estate taxes in advance to keep the city from going bankrupt. And during the interim of the time they paid that, et cetera, the city managed to get back on its feet. So the city has been in horrible places before. The question is this something they can come back from?
How are they going to address the crime issue if they continue the socialism streaks? Because he doesn't want policemen either. He wants social workers.
Yeah, right.
So what happens when crime goes up? I mean, they've already got the no cash bail?
Yeah,
and
right.
Unless it's over $900, it's not a crime.
But if you hear some people, they'll tell you there is no crime in New York. Like, you sit there and you're like shaking your head. They're not even recognizing what's really going on. I don't understand how they can't see it when you can walk down the street and get hit with a bat, on the subway, get put. I don't understand how people don't see things until it's too late. So when you hear, oh, the government will take care of all of our needs and the government will give you the food, there's not going to be any food.
Well, I think we all, and I agree with you on that point. But I think we also need to understand that the moral fabric is eroding in our country.
Yes.
Because we have sadly, removed the Bible, the Ten Commandments out of many places that they were. We continue to allow abortion in our country. So really, that moral compass just continues to erode. We have allowed our children to be confused. God made them a boy, but you're trying to tell them that they're a girl. We really have no standards anymore as relates to understanding true from the perspective of even husbands and wives being the way that God made family, a husband, a wife. And so I think really that's why people become numb. To this is just the way that it is, and then they don't push back, and then the society continues to break down.
I think that's a perfect
point. I went to school in New York City in the 1960s and rode the subways every day. I commuted. There is no way I would set my foot in a New York City subway today. I'd be scared to death.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just look
and
at
that's
some of the
said. Yeah, it's a beautiful city.
Yeah, it is.
It fantastic
has
city.
Culture.
Yes.
Like you can't
Love
believe.
New York. Yeah.
And it was a melting pot, yes. And it was a wonderful place to walk around and spend time.
Yeah.
And it's been through stages before.
Yeah.
We had a kid in college there in between Dinkins and Giuliani.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the change from Dinkins to Giuliani was night and day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Giuliani,
you know,
really,
Giuliani brought it back with the broken windows theory.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It has come back in the past. I pray that it will come back in the future, because this is going to be a hard thing to come back from.
Yeah, and I think we just can, even in the last administration with Mayor Eric Adams, he had so much corruption. There was no integrity within his administration.
And he tried to find some at the end,
but
it was too
soon,
late.
Too late, know, from that perspective. And then you look at even the DAs that were in place with the Democrats. They just continue to drive that nail to really disintegrate a very strong city. So I truly hope that he doesn't get elected, because I think it would be devastating for New York.
Yes, I agree. And the Andrew Cuomo has said he's not going to drop out of the race.
Oh, you know, he had millions killed under him.
Eric Adams.
Millions. I agree.
At COVID, sending them back to the nursing home.
Yes.
He knew exactly what was going
Eric
on.
Eric Adams will need
to remember that.
To run again.
And that's
and
why
Curtis Sliwa.
Ugh. But that's why Mandami is going to win, is because they're going to split the vote so
yes.
much.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Mandami's got a 40% approval rate. And based on the current polling, that's
all he needs.
Right.
Yeah.
50 Cent said he paid him $240,000 to leave town. Yeah, he did.
Both
on Twitter.
that wasn't enough.
Yeah, it wouldn't, I guess.
Now, quick question, only about a half a minute to go. What are the chances that something like that, New York City, might happen somewhere in North Carolina?
Oh, I could see it happening in Asheville easily.
Wilmington.
Raleigh.
Charlotte.
Chapel Hill.
Yeah, Wake County, Gifford County, where I come from. Yeah. This is coming to New Bern is a fresh breath of air, brother.
Well, we're glad to have you.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Welcome.
So we are vulnerable to that. If we don't take action and watch what's going on with
we're not immune.
I agree.
Folks, we got to wrap the show up. Again, thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.